You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do the people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven.
Thanks, Michelle. If I can add my welcome to you, and particularly if you're new with us, or you started coming recently, it's great to welcome you amongst us. And it'll be great to chat afterwards. There'll be tea or coffee served over there, and it'll be good to have a chat after. It'd be helpful to have the Bibles open on page 969. So if you can find a red Bible in front of you, page 969. Now I wonder if anyone can recognise this. Anyone recognise that? Yep. Tony, what is it? It is not Malham Cove, no. What was that? Okay. Well, if somebody said Dovedale, it is Dovedale. We love going there when we're in the Peak District. That is Dovedale. Just over 3 years ago, on the 30th of December 2012, we met as a joint service at St. Peter's Church up the road, our sister church. And I compared our journey as a church family to crossing a river. And we imagined a number of stepping stones across the river, a bit like that. And we asked, what is the next step for us as a combined church family? And at that point, the next step we decided on was a new service structure, the 4 o'clock service at St. Mark's, which is where we are now, which was born 3 years ago. And the 10 o'clock service at St. Peter's became our main morning service. There were other minor changes as well. I think there were good changes on the whole. There were issues, inevitably. But 3 years on, as I and the wardens and the leadership team have been looking ahead, it seems as though we may be coming to the point where we need to ask again the question, what is the next step across the river? And in one sense, we know the answer already. There are certain non-negotiables, things we cannot change and wouldn't want to change. If you go into a battle, it's a non-negotiable that you need a gun. If you go into a job interview, it's a non-negotiable that you need a CV. If you support the England football team, it's a non-negotiable that sometimes you'll be disappointed. And in the same way, there are non-negotiables as regards the next step. So think of Matthew 5 that Michelle just read to us and that we looked at on the first Sunday of 2016. Verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? Verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. So Jesus says to his followers that they are salt and light. That is, we're to be distinctive. Jesus' followers are to be distinctive from the world. We're to hold to the teaching of Jesus as set out in the Sermon on the Mount and the whole Bible. And we're to hold to that teaching even when it goes against our culture. In fact, we're to do it particularly when it goes against the culture, because salt is distinctive. It flavors and preserves because it's distinctive. And we're to be an attractive light, showing as we follow Jesus' teaching a more attractive way, a better way than our culture can offer. So that as people see it, they're drawn to it as a moth is drawn to a light. So how will this happen? How will we be salt and light? It's striking that Jesus says, you are, to those who are listening to him, those who are following his teaching, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. He doesn't say you should be. He says, you are. Those who follow him and those who listen to his teaching are salt and light. So in other words, we will be salt and light as we grow as disciples of Jesus, as we deepen in our faith, in our relationship with Jesus through the Bible, as we depend increasingly on Jesus, and as we're equipped to serve and obey Jesus in every part of our lives. Those are the non-negotiables. And we've tried to capture these things in our mission action plan at St. Mark's and St. Peter's. So this was adopted by the church councils back in September last year. It's a 5-year plan taking us to 2020, and it incorporates a vision, some core values, and some goals. And we're going to talk for a few moments about the vision and the core values. The annual report is coming out fairly soon, and you'll be able to read more about all of these things and also about the goals in that. So this is our vision. This is our vision as a church family. We are a Christ-centered community existing to spread a passion for Jesus Christ in the Anlaby communities and beyond. Well, what does that mean? First of all, we're a community, a group of like-minded people working together with a common purpose. And not just any group, the body of Christ, deeply loved, deeply privileged, deeply blessed by God. We're jumping around, aren't we? We had the same problem this morning. But there we go. Okay, on to the next one. Christ-centered. Everything we are, everything we're becoming, everything we do is centered on Jesus Christ. He is our salvation. He is our hope. He is our joy. He is our peace with God. He is our righteousness. He's our eternity. In him alone is found everlasting joy and satisfaction. Jesus is our Lord, our Saviour, our treasure. Existing. It's being naughty. It's like someone's behind me, sort of sticking their fingers over me. Anyway, existing, that is, our vision reminds us what we exist to do. So we have a purpose, which is not just to meet on a Sunday, not to keep the show on the road. We exist to make Jesus known and for people to experience the joy and transformation that knowing him brings. That's what I want to see. To see lives changed in the Anlaby communities. To see people in Anlaby Village whose passion is Jesus Christ. People in Anlaby Park who want to see God rather than themselves glorified. People in Anlaby Common who spend their spare pound on serving others rather than on the lottery. People in Rokeby Park, young and old, adult and child, whose lives have been transformed through coming to know God as Father, Jesus as Brother, and the Holy Spirit as the one who transforms and brings life. So that's our goal, to spread a passion for Jesus Christ in the Anlaby communities and beyond, to Hull, to England, into all the world. But why a passion? I've done it again. Why a passion? Because knowing Jesus isn't just about head knowledge. It's not like knowing French or chemistry. It's like falling in love with someone. Having Jesus, as I said, as Lord, as Saviour, as treasure. And of course, we can't spread a passion if we don't have a passion for Jesus. And so our vision statement encourages us to ask, do I have a passion for Jesus Christ? If I don't, what is it that I don't get about Jesus? What is it that I don't get about the gospel that stops me having that passion? Because let's just remind ourselves of the gospel. God the Son has lived for eternity with the Father in perfect joy and holiness, lacking nothing. The Father and Son created the world and human beings that we might share in their joy. And yet we turned in on ourselves, loving ourselves and created things rather than God. But out of his great love, the Son chose to come to earth to serve us as a fragile baby. He lived a perfect life, showing us the God-pleasing, most happy way to live. And then he died, the immortal died for us. And in dying, he took the penalty for our imperfection, and he gave us his perfection. 3 days later, he rose again, destroying death, bringing the hope of immortality to all who trust in him. And he brings peace and hope and righteousness and transformation to all his people. To some extent now, in eternity completely. Is that not something to be passionate about? And is it not good news to spread around that others might share that passion? Is he not someone to serve with our whole beings? Well, that's our vision statement. And working together with our vision statement, we have a number of values. There they are up on the screen. These are the things that characterize us as a church, the things we believe the Bible tells us we need to do. I won't go through them in detail. Here we go, we're jumping again. I won't go through them in detail. But as I say, there'll be more about them on the annual report, and I'm sure we'll say more about them in due course. So all of that is non-negotiable. All of that needs to be part of the next step that we take, whatever it might be. We're going to have a pause as we continue to praise God as we sing. And I think it's a new song that we're singing. Is that right? So we've talked so far about the non-negotiables as we think about the next step for St. Mark's and St. Peter's. But of course, given all of that, we're still confronted with a lot of choice. We need to make choices. So we have 9 values that we talked about just now. We can't focus on all of them all the time in the same way. We have 4 buildings, if you include Anlaby Village Hall. We've got St. Peter's Building, St. Mark's Building, St. Mark's Hall. And there's the Scout Hut as well, so that's 5 buildings. We have a great number of activities and services and meetings that take place. And each thing we're doing, however good it may be, means that there's something else that we're not doing that we could be. If you're an economist, or if you know about economics, you'll be familiar with the phrase, the opportunity cost, that everything has a cost attached to it in terms of something else you could be doing. So we need to make choices. And as we think about these choices, there are other factors that that I've been thinking about, that the wardens have been thinking about for some time. If you'll forgive the cricket analogy, I'd like to put it in terms of front foot and back foot factors. So the main front foot factor is that we have a mission action plan, as we've already said. We've got a vision, we've got values. And that gives us an opportunity to choose priorities. And a few weeks ago, the leadership team went away, thank you to those who prayed, and came to a realization that 3 of the values are absolutely key. Deepening in our relationship with God through the Bible, depending on God in prayer, and being equipped for service. Why are they key? Well, because those 3 things together are the foundation of, well, they are Christian discipleship. And if we're doing those things well, then everything else will follow. So we have within the church family all the gifts that God thinks we need to do what he wants us to do. So if we're growing in our faith and if we're being equipped for the work God's calling us to, all the other things will follow. And so I, for one, am convinced that whatever we do over the next year or more, our choices must be built around those 3 core values: deepen, depend, and equip. Now to the back foot. We need to face some hard realities as a church family. The fact is, our ability to keep doing all the things we have been doing is, at the moment at least, shrinking. Over the past year, we've had a small number of people doing a huge amount of work, and I don't think that's sustainable. One of our wardens spent a week in hospital over Christmas, not entirely caused by church work, but something at the very least to make us pause and reflect. I personally am a limited human being. Someone said to me a couple of weeks ago, you can't sustain the pace in your 40s that you did in your 30s. I need to take that seriously. I don't know if you're a Hobbit fan or a Lord of the Rings fan, but you may remember Bilbo Baggins saying, it's a bit like there's too little butter spread too thinly over too much bread. Or to go back to the river analogy, it's as if we're on a stepping stone crossing a river, but the stone we're standing on in the river is being eroded away beneath our feet. So we need to do something or we'll fall in the river. Now, I'm aware that having said that, we could all go away feeling thoroughly depressed, and I don't want that to happen. God is working, People have become Christians. People are growing in their faith. It was wonderful last week to hear Mike. Where's he gone? There he is. To hear Mike talking about how God's been working in him over recent years. And there are lots more examples like that. There's the West Hull mission that Tony talked about, which is a great opportunity. So there are lots of good things happening. But we cannot simply carry on doing everything we have been doing, nor should we want to, for we have a vision to fulfill. So what should we do? What might the year ahead consist of? Here are five things that I'll talk about briefly. First of all, we should pray on our own, together, at the monthly prayer meeting. We need to pray for God to lead us. If we truly depend on him, we will be asking him to guide us in our decisions. Please pray for me, for the wardens, for the leadership team, for the church councils. Do pray as well for tomorrow. Tomorrow we have an independent church consultant visiting us, John Truscott. Somebody said to me on the phone yesterday, what on earth is a church consultant? I've known him for a number of years, and he's very wise. He's got lots of experience of lots of different churches, and he's not going to sort of give us a silver bullet, but I'm confident he'll give us some very helpful suggestions. But please do pray for his visit tomorrow. And there is one other thing which I'm going to start doing, which is on a Monday morning, not tomorrow because I'll be picking up John Truscott, but after that, on a Monday morning at St. Peter's from 8:45 to 9:30, praying specifically for the future and the West Hull mission. And I'd invite anyone who would like to join me at 8:45 on a Monday morning to come and pray for those things. Secondly, a season of discipleship. I've already said discipleship is central, that those core values, deepen, depend and equip, are central. And I confess this is something that I've lost focus on. So I was reminded a couple of weeks ago that when I was an accountant, I was committed to sharing my faith with as many people as I could. That is the front line, the workplace, the home, the pub, being salt and light where we are, where we're being real people, if you like. And I was reminded that the reason I went into paid Christian ministry was so that I could equip other people to share their faith. So if you like, multiplying the people who are able to do that. And yet, I've been distracted from that in recent years. I've been distracted by all the other things going on. I've repented of that. I've seen once again that this is a core part of my job, to be discipling people, as indeed I am discipled, to equip people for the work God is calling them to. Not just in church, it's not just about what I do at church, it's about my whole life, how I serve God at home, how I live for God at work, and so on. What's God calling me to? So I can say now, I consider this to be one of my priorities. And if you'd like to grow in your Christian faith, and if you'd like to be equipped to serve God in your life, not just church, but the whole of your life, then that's something I'm totally committed to. Do speak to me, or write it down on the form I'll talk about later, and I'd love to have a conversation with you about how that could happen. Thirdly, we need to have a conversation. I'm aware that some of what I've said will be new to some of us. We need to have a conversation about that. We need to face the reality of the situation and to come up with a solution together. So we'll be doing that. Connected to that, I think we need to review our activities. We need to review everything we do in the light of our priorities for this season, our vision and our three core values. So we need to ask of each activity, each building, each meeting, is this serving our priorities? How is it serving our priorities? We need to be willing to make some difficult decisions, to stop things that aren't meeting our priorities, and to start other things that will help us to meet them. And then finally, we need to think seriously about church membership. If you're a regular with us on a Sunday, which, how do you define regular? Once a month, more than once a month, then you are a church member. Being a church member is an immense privilege. But as with any privilege, it carries responsibilities as well. We're all in this together, and that's exciting. I've put together a leaflet. Hopefully you received one of these as you came in, which says a little bit more about church membership. It talks about the privileges of being a church member. It talks about the how we express our membership in the Church of England. That's, if you don't know, something called the electoral roll. And I think there's an electoral roll form as well in your pack. If you haven't got one, there is some at the back. And it talks about how to take our membership seriously in terms of those three things: deepen, depend, and equip. And what I suggest is that we take 5 minutes now, and I'll get some pens, that we take 5 minutes now just to read through this and start filling it in. You may not manage to finish filling it in, but I think it'd be good to, at least to get started. So there's 2 pages of stuff I've written, and then there's a response page as well. And if you're not on the electoral roll, and if you're not sure whether you are on the electoral roll, then do fill in a form to put yourself on the electoral roll. So let's just take 5 minutes. I'll go and get some pens, have a read of this, and then start filling in. And there's a box at the back to put your responses in. Please could you do that today, or if you do need to take it away and think about it, put it in next week. Does that make sense? We'll do that for 5 minutes, and then I'll say a quick prayer to close us off. I'll get some pens. Great, let me pray. And as I said earlier, I realise you may not have had a chance to finish filling those in, but if you're able to drop them in later today or next week, that would be great. The box is currently there, and it'll either be there or on the table in the back room or the front room. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the gospel. We thank you for Jesus Christ and all that he's done and all that he means to us. And we pray that you would make Jesus known. We pray that you would stir up our passion for him as we come to know him better through your word, the Bible. We pray that you would help us as a church to know how we can make him known. Help us to make wise decisions, we pray, in the months ahead. Help us individually to know what it means to live for Christ in each area of our lives, at home, at work, in our family, and at church. And we do pray that you would be glorified in this coming year. In Jesus' name, amen.